Everybody pick up your hymnal. Let's turn to page number 64. Page 64.
Thank you. that one there will get your blood pumping. I like that song. It made me want to get up and move around. I didn't say dance. I thought about it, though. Good morning. That even made Fred smile. That's a good song. Good singing. Boy, it's good to be here this morning. Nice, pretty weather outside. And no snow, even though it's on the thing here in a little bit. I asked Georgia about that. She said she's trying her best to help Cindy get her snow. It's your fault. Huh? Well, that's all right. It'll be okay. It's supposed to get cold again this weekend, so be sure and get plenty of wood on your this week. Be sure and get plenty of wood on your porch and stay warm. A few things coming up. This morning, we got our youth fund offering. So the second time a plate is passed will be for that. Takes care of feeding their kids on Wednesday night and stuff like that. So keep that in mind as it comes around. Next Sunday will be our building fund offering. So we're not finished. You can't sit still, okay? And also things happen. Keep that in mind, upkeep of the building and future projects and stuff like that. So the building fund was pretty busy last year. Thank God we got a lot of stuff done. So keep that in mind. And then next Sunday evening will be our business meeting. So I can't stress enough how important it is to come to the business meeting, because if you don't come, you really don't know what's going on around here. A lot of it you miss. This morning, Michelle and Holly will be your nursery attendants. Next Sunday, Georgia and Mandy. All right, any other announcements?
Page 168.
Looks like a bird in prison, I quell. No freedom from my sorrow, I tell. But Jesus came and listened to me, and glory to God, He set me free. He set me free. He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I glory bound my Jesus to see. For glory to God, He set me free. Now I am climbing higher each day. Darkness of night has drifted away. My feet are planted.
See all these smiling faces too. We got a special for you this morning we've never done before. It's another old song. You've sang it before, but we've never done it as a choir special. Turns out I've kind of had to tone my bass section down a little bit, because these guys are raring to go, and part of the chorus, well, you'll just hear it. It's just good. You're going to enjoy it. When God dips His love in my heart. Here we go.
Out of Numbers chapter 13 and John chapter 14 when I get down there. Now, in the past, I've worked really, really hard to learn to preach without notes. And I have to say I've kind of lapsed on that a little bit. These technology and stuff is kind of a trap you get into, and the next thing you know, you're kind of typing out more notes and they're readily available. You don't have to flip a bunch of pages. You can just kind of scroll through. But I find myself more tied to the notes, and I don't like it. I like preaching without notes a whole lot better because it just suits me better, I guess. You're not as tied. Now, part of the problem with teaching without or preaching without notes is you don't really know the time. I mean, it's the time. I don't know if it's going to be short or long or whatever it's going to be, but I don't really care. There was an old preacher told me one time, you preach till you're done, but when you're done, quit. And so that means if it's 15 minutes, it's 15. If it's an hour and a half, y'all are just into it. That's all I know to say. So I said all of that to say this. I like preaching without notes a whole lot better, so I'm going to work again at getting away from them. I have a few just bullet points in here, but here we go. No notes. Y'all pray for me. I need it. was listening to the radio this last week, and I've told y'all this before, but I get inspiration for sermons from different places, songs, something someone says, a sermon that I've heard someone else preach will give you an idea. I don't know, but most of y'all probably have heard of Dr. David Jeremiah. I love David Jeremiah. Him and Charles Tanley, and there's a couple more that I'll listen to. Other than that, I don't listen to a whole lot of that. If you listen to a lot of TV and radio, be careful, okay? There's good stuff out there, and there's a lot of bad stuff out there. But it's really kind of like I tell you in here, don't take my word for it. Use the Bible, and God's word has the final authority on everything. So, but I like listening to David Jeremiah. He's good, and he's biblically sound, and he's a very intelligent, God-led, spirit-filled man, and I do enjoy listening to him a lot. But as I was listening to him, I got to thinking about faith and modern-day faith. He was preaching about Caleb. Y'all remember Caleb? Joshua and Caleb and the other 10 that went to spy out the land. So I want to talk to you just a little bit about Caleb this morning, and I want to bring it up to our present day. So Caleb, an Israelite, a slave to Egypt. He was about 40 years old whenever God delivered Israel from Egyptian bondage. So he'd been a slave up to that point, probably, well, all of his life, because the Egyptians were had the Israelites in bondage for over 400 years. So he didn't know anything other than slavery until God sent Moses to deliver the children from bondage. So 40 years old, he's seen all the miracles of God had worked through Moses on Pharaoh in Egypt, all of the plagues, all the things. He had seen it all. He'd been there. And so God delivered the children of Israel. Now they left there, and we studied in our Bible studies that when they left, they came on this journey, and they came up to the Red Sea, and God parted the sea for them. There was nowhere else for them to go. You realize that. Whenever they camped there by the Red Sea, Pharaoh's army was behind them. They couldn't back up. They couldn't go around. They either were going to be killed by Pharaoh's army, or God had to intervene. And God opened the Red Sea, and they came across. From there, they went over to Mount Sinai, where Moses received the law. That was a big ordeal. Moses had been up there for 40 days. He came back down with the tablets, only to find that they had reverted back to worshiping a golden image of a calf. He cast those tablets down, and God killed a multitude of those people for worshiping this idol. And Moses went back, and he got a new set of stone tablets, and he came back down. So they'd been there for a while. Caleb saw all this. He knew the power of God. He had faith in what God said because he had seen God work. What happened to our faith? What happened to their faith? All the other children of Israel had seen it as well. They came over now to the promised land. Here they are knocking on the door, the land that God had promised to give them. Now, think about this for just a second before we read a scripture or two. But this land was flowing with milk and honey, and it had the grapes were so large that they had to carry them on a stick between two people coming back to clusters of grapes. And the things that God was going to give them that he had promised them, that all they had to do was go in and inhabit the land. And the structures and the vineyards and all the things that had been established there, they didn't have to do any of it. Out of slavery, bondage, into a land that flowed with milk and honey. And they were there, and they were poised to go in. And Moses sent the 12 spies in. And they went in, and they looked, and they came back out, and they all recognized that this land was everything that God had said it would be, but they had also seen the inhabitants. And some of them were giants. And all of them were men of war. And 10 of them said, it's everything we want. It's everything God promised, but we can't do it. We can't do it. But Joshua and Caleb, they said, we can't, but God can. Let's go. Let's go in. God's promised it to us. Let's go in. And the other 10 said no. Verse 30, Numbers chapter 13, verse 30. They're having this big conversation about whether they should go in. And here's old Caleb. Now, I think about Caleb and Joshua. Joshua was the next leader to be. He led them into the promised land. But here's Caleb, okay? He don't get the same power, if you will, but he has the same faith. Look at Caleb, verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses. In other words, he told them, y'all be quiet, I got something I want to say. I got to say this. And then said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Caleb had seen the power of God. He had no doubt in his mind, in his heart, in his being that what God had promised them that God would give them. He'd seen the same people. He knew the numbers. He knew that if they were doing this on their own, they couldn't do it as well as the other 10 that didn't want to go in. But he knew that God could. Think back with Caleb, all of his life being in bondage, he couldn't by himself deliver his people from Pharaoh's bondage. But God could and did. Caleb, there by the Red Sea, he couldn't swim that far. He couldn't take all of his people across, but he had seen God do it. You see, the faith of Caleb was that he knew he couldn't, but God could. I can't even imagine what Caleb and Joshua felt like whenever they were told not to go in. And because of the doubt of those other 10, they couldn't cross over into the promised land. And so God wasn't going to let them in. Skip over to Numbers 14, verse 24. This is God speaking here to the children of Israel. And read the rest of these scriptures if you get a second. It's a good read. It's a good story. It's a good lesson to us. In verse 24, though God said, but my servant Caleb, because he has another spirit with him, a spirit different than the others. You know what? Caleb believed. He had a spirit of belief in God because he has another spirit with him and hath followed me partially, fully. Him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it. Listen to what God is saying to Caleb, because Caleb has a different spirit. Caleb has followed me fully. Caleb trusts me. He has faith. And because he does, all the land that he looked at, all the land that his feet have trod in the promised land shall be his. And Joshua is going to get to go in. But the rest of y'all unbelievers, y'all going to wander around in the desert for 40 years. And everyone in this group, 20 years old and upward, are going to die and not be able to go in to the promised land. You know, sometimes I think that one of the worst things that's going on in our culture today is that this culture has bred a generation, if not more than one generation, of people that think that this world owes them everything and that they can do anything and there is no consequences. Shame on us. You see, there is consequences to your actions. There always has been. And there always will be. The consequences of the action of the children of Israel is because of their unbelief, they didn't get what God had promised them. You see, I believe that God has promised everyone who has ever been conceived that Jesus Christ would come and die on that cross and that all those that believe should have eternal, everlasting, that's forever, non-ending life in the presence of God. But on the flip side of that is that those that don't have faith don't get it. The consequence of not having faith in what Jesus did is the eternal separation from God and a life of never-ending existence in hell. Totally separated. You see, Caleb, he had faith in what God said. 40 years wandering in the desert, and then he got to go in. Now think about this. He was 40. Now 40 years in the desert. Now I know my math's not exact, but think about it. He's 80 years old or close to it. Now I don't know about anybody in here but me, but I'm not 80 yet, and I'm not near the man I was 20 years ago. Might be for 5 minutes, but not any longer much. Sorry. It's true. But here's old Caleb. He's 80 years old. He went in to possess the land that God had promised the children of Israel, and he helped all of them obtain that before he went on to claim the land that he personally had been promised. And he was fighting like a young man because God had sustained his strength because he had faith. All right, here we are. The year now, 2019. And this whole world we're living in is a mess. I'm not going to get into a lot of political issues this morning. You just turn on the TV or listen to the radio and you can see it. It's everywhere we look. But besides the political issues, here's what I want you to get. The political stuff is not important. How can you say that, preacher? Because they're not in control. God is. Oh, but they're messing this up. Yeah, all of them are. But don't forget who's in control. God is. He's in control. Here we are. In a mess. But the worst mess that we're in this world today is not because people of power want more power, wealth, fame, all that stuff. That's not the problem we're in. The problem that we're in today as Christians is that the spiritual world is perverted. Well, we live in a world today that teaches that anything goes and it don't matter what you believe as long as you believe something. I've heard people say this before, and it just makes me fighting mad if you just want to know the truth. It don't matter where you go to church as long as you go. That's garbage, friend. It does matter where you go. It matters what you hear. It matters what you preach. It matters what you teach. It matters what you believe. And what you believe has consequences, either good or bad. Amen. This whole world's in such a mess because the spiritual welfare of the people is in jeopardy because of false teachings. You know what I know? I know that when Jesus comes back, that it's not going to matter who's president and who's in Congress. It's not going to matter if Mr. Putin's still in power or not, because none of them have more power than my God. Amen. This old world is perverted in spiritual wickedness, and we need to get in our mind that as long as we're serving God, He'll bless us. Think of Caleb. Think of everything he went through. I dare say none of us have been in bondage for 40 years of our life. Has anybody here had to wander in the desert for 40 years? Anybody here not have their next meal planned out? Know what it is? Is anybody hungry? If you are, come to my house. We'll feed you. Maybe beans and taters, but we'll eat. But Caleb still had faith. And look at where we are. We have so many things available to us that we've put our faith in self. We've put our faith in the United States of America. And our faith needs to be replaced on God, because that's where the power is. How do you know that, preacher? Well, I know it a lot of different ways. One way I know it is I've seen it and I've lived it. Because see, whenever you have faith and something bad happens to you, you have the one that has the power on your side. When you don't have faith, something bad happens to you, you're devastated. Have you ever wondered when someone passed away and the family don't have a church home, a church family, if they're not born again believers, how do they deal with it? If you've been over here where I'm at and you see the devastation in the family, and then you see someone that has lost their loved one, that has lived a life, knows Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and their family knows God and has trusted Jesus, there's a vast difference. It's because of faith. I've seen the power of God. You know what I know? I know that God's in control. And I know where my power comes from. Matthew chapter 28. I didn't mention this a while ago. I'm going to read it. I love this scripture. I absolutely love it, and I think that we forget it. It's the Great Commission. You might be able to quote it, but I want you to focus on a few things here. First of all, in verse 18, then, and Jesus came and spake to them, talking to the church, okay? He's talking to the born-again believers. He's talking to his church that he's leaving here on this earth. Folks, that's you and I. That's us. Say, all power. How much power? He didn't say I have power to get rid of your speeding ticket. He didn't say I have power to relieve you of your tax burden. He said all power. All power is given unto me in where? Heaven and in earth. All power. All power is given to Jesus by God Almighty. And He is giving it to us, church. And here's what He says. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them, those converts, those born-again believers. Do we have a job here at Oak Hill Missionary Baptist Church? You better believe we do. We have a job to go. We have a job to convert. We have a job to teach them the truth. Teaching them to observe all things. Well, wait a minute, preacher. I don't like them scriptures that tell us that we can't do this or that. I don't care. God said. And if He said don't do it, don't do it. Oh, but by the way, if God said do it, do it. We don't have to pray about it for a week or 10 days or 2 months or 5 years. If God said do it, just do it, and He'll bless you for it. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and get this, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Listen, friend, this world will end as we know it. The governments that are in charge of everything that are going on will cease to be in control. But Jesus will be with you always till the end of this world and beyond. Teach the truth. Oh, well, that's not politically correct. It's not meant to be. Because here's what happens. If we teach the truth, the Holy Spirit convicts and people are saved. If we don't teach the truth, people are confused, people stay lost, people go to hell. So how much do you love them? Do you love them enough to tell them the truth? What's the best friend? What does your best friend tell you? What you want to hear? Or the truth? Well, if you don't have a best friend that'll tell you the truth, friend, you need to find you one. Because everybody needs to be accountable to somebody. And we're all accountable to God. And He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Where's our faith? Are we afraid of offending someone? Well, you know what? I don't want to offend anyone just for the sake of offending them. But if preaching the truth from God's word offends you, you need to get your heart right with God. Amen. Where's our faith? Our faith should be that when we go and when we preach and when we teach that Jesus Christ is the only way to get to God, that the Holy Spirit will take that true teaching and preaching and drive it home in the hearts and the souls of those who need Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But guess what? Also, born again believer, the Holy Spirit will drive the truth of His word into your heart and cause you to put legs on your faith. Go ye therefore. Not an option. It's a command. But Jesus Himself. We still operate. This church still operates under the same power that the ones that were listening to Jesus say this had. Jesus still in control. Jesus still ahead of this church. If He's not, we better get it right. Jesus' church. I don't care if you've been here 127 years. This church ain't yours. This church belongs to God. And I don't care if you've been here for 2 days. The same thing applies. This church belongs to God. All power is given to us when we preach and we teach the truth. If we don't preach and teach the truth, it's going to be taken away from us. One of my favorite scriptures. I love this scripture. John chapter 14. I'm going to read several verses. Y'all have heard me say it many, many times. But in this time and in this world that we live in, it's troubling times. Would you agree? I mean, everywhere we look, there's problems. Worldwide. And even here in America. Listen to what Jesus says. Excuse me, my voice is getting a little scratchy. I think Cindy's giving me the crud. Somebody, maybe it was Logan. No, I'm just kidding, brother. Chapter 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Well, what do we have to worry about? Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. If you're a born-again believer, if you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you shouldn't worry about anything. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Listen, in my Father's house, where are we going? We're going to the Father's house. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. I love that old song about the little cabin in the corner, but guess what? I ain't getting a cabin. I'm getting a mansion when I get there. I'm going to enjoy every minute of it too. And guess what? Minutes don't count because it's all eternity. Jesus went to prepare a place for you and I. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Do we know the way? Do we know how to get to where Jesus is? Well, it's through the cross. It's through the shed blood of Jesus. God Himself paid the price so that we could be sinless someday. You know, the perfect part of us dwells in here, and His name is Holy Spirit. And He comes in when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Yes, I know this old fleshly body still commits sins, but I want you to know something. I will never be separated from God because I have faith in what He did for me. This world can't do nothing about that. Can't change it. Can't take it away. It's not going to change God's mind. Ain't going to change God's plan. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you don't have anything to worry about. Well, life's hard, preacher. It is. This old life's hard. Guess what, though? There's no promise it's going to get better until Jesus comes back. If you believe in God, believe also in me. Then Thomas, old Doubting Thomas. Y'all remember him? How many Doubting Thomases we got? Huh? Are we one? I ask myself that once in a while. Am I a Doubting Thomas? Do I really? I mean, I think it's good that we ask ourselves these hard questions. Have you ever asked yourself that? Do I doubt God? And actually think, well, you know what? Is my faith as strong as it should be? Or do I doubt God? Do you doubt God? Boy, I hope not. Thomas did, and he was born again believer, right? Listen, Thomas said to him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Not Muhammad, not Buddha, not Joseph Smith, not anybody else. Jesus Christ. He is the way. He is the truth. And He is the life. And no one, did you get that? Nobody's going to get to where God is except through the blood of Jesus Christ. So it's been 2,000 some odd years of people say, well, you Christians, y'all have been saying Jesus is coming back ever since He left. Yes, 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 yes. We have. And you know what? I am going to be saying it until I die or until Jesus comes back first. Because this I know. I have faith that Jesus Christ is coming back to this world. And He's going to take those of us who have believed and trusted in Him, and we're going to be caught up into the air with those that have went on before, and we're going to get a glorified body that don't have scratchy voices, sinus problems, achy bones. None of that stuff's going to affect us anymore because we're getting a perfect, sinless body. Amen? He's coming. I believe it could be soon. So what if it's another 2,000 years? This old body's not going to be here, but my soul's going to be where God is. Jesus is coming back. Caleb had faith. Caleb had faith in God. Friend, where's your faith? Is your faith in the government? Maybe in the almighty dollar? Maybe in yourself. I can do it. I can't do it, friend. Put your faith in the one that can. His name is Jesus. Caleb had unwavering faith. God told us in His Word the way that we get to Him. In Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, it says that we are saved by our faith. We're saved by our faith in Jesus Christ. It's a gift that's given to us by God. It's free to us. Cost God greatly. Let me tell you something, friend. If you know Jesus as your personal Savior, this world can do nothing to you except send you to heaven a little quicker. Amen? Paul said, to die is gain, to live is Christ. You see, I believe that God has left His church here as long as He has because we still have a vital role to play in this world. Why hasn't Jesus come back yet? God's not finished with the church. When God's finished with the church and the work that we have, and God told us through Jesus Christ there in Matthew, we just read it, He's told us to go you therefore and preach and teach. Folk, we need to be busy preaching and teaching. Because one of these days, God's going to say to Jesus sitting on His right hand, Son, go bring my children home. And this church, these born-again believers that make up the church, is going to be raptured or taken out of here, and we're going to get our glorified body. And guess what? After that, things are going to get really bad here on this earth. You don't want your mom, dad, brother, sister, wife, kid left behind. We got to be preaching and teaching the truth. It's all about Jesus. It's not about me. Jesus is coming back. When? It's up to God. But we have a job to do while we're here. Listen, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, maybe you're hearing this on the internet, whatever the case may be, I want you to know very plainly this morning, you will never see God Almighty except through the shed blood of Jesus. You have to have faith in what He did. That's pretty narrow-minded, preacher. You bet your boots it is. You know why? Because that's the way God is. It's His way, or it's no way. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been faced with problems. And maybe something's going on in your life. It's just about more than you could bear. I think about old Caleb stomping around in that straw and that mud. And then when everything was going on and God was delivering them, they took the straw away and they still had to meet their quota. Folk, there ain't nobody you know in that shape today. And he had faith in God. 40 years wandering through the desert. Do you know that every drop of water that they drank and their animals, God had to provide? Every bite of food, every blade of grass. They were in the desert. You ever been in the desert? Ain't nothing there but sand. God provided. Train loads of provisions daily for them. We got two refrigerators and a deep freeze, amen? Ain't God good for us, to us? You know what I know, though? Everything that's in those two refrigerators and that deep freeze, God blessed us with. Where's our faith? Still the same power. Still the same God. Still the same Jesus. Well, I ask you to come this morning, Gene and Linda Gale, if you would stand with me for a word of prayer. Fathers, we come to you at this time, Lord. We're thankful, oh so thankful for what you did for us on the cross. We're thankful, Lord, for your word that allows us to see the faith of others, that we might know that when we have faith, and we don't have any problems in this world. The promises that you've made, Lord, the things that you've done, the things you've done in my life, I thank you for them, the good and the bad. Because, Lord, hard times strengthens our faith. I'm so blessed to be born a citizen of this great United States of America, Lord, but I truly believe that the blessings that you poured out on us have become a curse to this nation, and that's all people are focused on is the good things instead of the really good things, which is Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that you would get our hearts right, you would get our minds right, and that you would heal this land that we live in, that God might be glorified, Jesus might be served in spirit and in truth. Lord, I have faith that what I have placed in your care, you're able to keep safe until the time when I get to be with you. If there's any lost here this morning, Lord, I pray that the Spirit would convict them, would draw them. Lord, if there's any here that are struggling, I pray the Spirit would open their eyes, open their hearts, and show them that through faith we can conquer all. Your will be done in each and every life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Page number 300.
How we walk through this life any other way than hand in hand with Jesus? How do we get up of a morning? How do we make it through these days without hand in hand with Jesus? My tie, it's got the footprints on it. It makes me remember the story of the person that was walking with God, and there were two sets of footprints in the sand, and all of a sudden there was just one, and the person looked back on his life and said, it seemed like there was only one set every time I was having trouble in life, hard times, and God, why'd you leave me? And God said, I didn't leave you, that's when I was carrying you. You know, we walk hand in hand with God through Jesus Christ. He carries me a lot more than I walk on my own. Thank God for that. How are we walking? Are we walking in faith that Jesus will see us through? You know, I believe in my heart that God's not finished with the church here. He has sent Jesus back to bring us home. And until God is finished with the church and in the way that He set it up and the way that He started it, we still have a job to do. Amen. And when we walk in faith as a church, as an individual, and when we bind ourselves together with a common goal, focused on what God would have us do here, we can change the world one life at a time. When you get up of a morning, do you start your day walking hand in hand? Or do you wait until you have trouble and then reach out? I have faith that God will never leave me nor forsake me. And if I'm not walking hand in hand with Jesus, it's because I turned Him loose, not because He turned me loose. As we sing another verse. Song. All right, choir practice?
No business meeting, no choir practice, but I have been remiss in something. Cool. My beautiful wife reminded me of it more than once this morning, and I forgot it. I didn't do birthdays and anniversaries, and it's the last Sunday of the month. So everybody sit down. We're going to do...
Gene?
Oh, no, I'm not... Huh.
Business meeting isn't tonight. It's next Sunday.
Next Sunday.
Oh, next Sunday night. Oh, excuse me. Oh, well, we'll have choir practice tonight then. 5:00. But sit down. We're going to do birthdays and anniversaries. Okay, did we have any birthdays? Oh. See, I got to go home now.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. And anymore.
Okay, what about anniversaries? Did we have any anniversaries? No anniversaries in January?
Hey, Gene, everybody's looking at me, but I'm here by myself, so what would that
be? I was in here by myself.
Get on up here.
Happy anniversary to you and me, Lord.
Okay, so we are having choir practice. 5 o'clock. All right.
Choir practice, yes.
Okay. Anything else?